Good morning, Trinity Lutheran Church. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. Thanks for being here again this morning. I think we're going to talk a little bit about love today. So I thought we'd have one more song here about love before we get rolling with the service. A song by Fred Small. When David Roth was here last week and a half ago, we started talking about Fred Small, and this song came to mind. So this is a song called This Love. Sometimes people ask, what is it like, this love that's holding me, unfolding me? Sometimes people ask, what's the difference that we see in your days? It's not romance if romance is a dream world. It's not bliss if bliss is ignorance. And if I tried to tell the truth of us, the closest I'd come could be this. If for just one moment people all over the world could know this love, armories would hold their fire, soldiers would unlace their boots and play soccer on the shrouded fields, let the tanks rust where they stand, take hold of a foreign hand, tell me of life in your native land. If for just one moment people all over the world could know this love, ancient tribes betrayed, sometimes slavers, sometimes slave, would lay wreaths upon the graves and gather under a spreading tree, saying, hear our tragedy. We will listen to you and the bully who beats on the weaker one would say, my God, what have I done? Has it come to thee? Victim who bore it so long would be strong enough to stop it and find a way to forgive. If for just one moment people all over the world could know this love, people online at the bank would whistle and yodel and dance. Teller would say, just fill in the blanks for whatever you need today. People around the block would leave the front door unlocked, and all you gotta do is knock to be welcomed. When you get this close to someone, there is no blaming, no mistaking. You know what they've been through and the courage it's constantly taking. If for just one moment people all over the world could know this love, if for just one moment people all over the world could know this love.
Morning. Thank you, Carl. Thank you to our musicians. Thank you to the choir who's here. And thank you all for being here. Can you join me in welcoming all those online? All those folks online. There are more people here than you see in section two. A little weak on section two, and the camera at home, they don't see that. So that's why it's good if you sit up front a little bit, then they know you're here. They take attendance. Good to be together. Thank you for being here today. A really great Sunday in our lives this morning. Lots of things to celebrate. And the order of service is printed in your bulletin. You can follow right along there. Everything will be projected for you as well. And so if it's comfortable, I would invite you to stand. Gathered in God's house, we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn, call and response, come, let us worship God. It's live church. It's live church. This is heaven. Isn't that what we have printed there?
Yeah. Come, let us worship God.
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 Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, everyone.
To the love of God.
Continue with our responsive reading, our litany for this fifth Sunday of Easter. Married, divorced, or single here.
It's one family that mingles here.
Conservative or liberal here.
We've all got to get a little here.
Big or small here.
There's room for us all here.
Doubt or believe here.
We can all receive here.
Gay or straight here.
There's no hate here.
Woman or man here.
Everyone can serve here.
Whatever your race here.
For all of us grace here.
In imitation of the ridiculous love Almighty God has for us.
Let us live and love without labels.
Because mine is the church.
Where everybody is welcome.
Now we'll sing that. Hymn of praise. Mine is the church. Everybody's welcome.
Every time.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most merciful and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this new day. May our hearts and minds be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit, that we may be set free to live and love, embracing daily life and our daily ministry that you have entrusted to each of us. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The first lesson today is from Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. The word of the Lord.
Beautiful, thank you. Oh, blessed spring, come quickly. Huh? We're ready for spring? It hasn't quite arrived, it doesn't seem, but thank you. Thank you to our choir and our musicians. Thank you for being here this morning. We're talking about the lens this morning, the lens and how we view the world. You know, there's so many things about our faith that are mysterious, that are beyond our knowing, but not everything is beyond our knowing. So do you want to know God's stated goal for your existence? Do you want to know why Jesus came to this earth? The Bible's quite clear on this. God is not in need of your worship. God is not in need of your praise. Worship and praise are simply a response to the good gifts that God has already provided for us. God does not desire your sacrifice or your penance, though there may be a time and a place for both. God's stated goal, the mission statement of Jesus, is found in the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." No matter what you've been taught in your life, you must know that God is not a threat to you. God only desires good for you. God is not interested in the least in punishing you. So this morning we'll be looking at the lens through which our faith and life must be viewed. Without the proper lens, reality is skewed, vision is blurry, and we are easily led astray. I was with a woman from our parish a few weeks ago. Her daughter was going through a very painful time, a time that will most likely lead to death. The suffering was significant, and the suffering had been going on for a very long time. Understandably, this dear Christian woman was worried about her daughter, and she was worried about her daughter's salvation. Like many of us who have children or grandchildren, this daughter was not a part of a church community, and she would not necessarily even describe herself as being a Christian. And given all the suffering that she had been through, she was not even sure that there was a God. Well, I reminded this woman that her daughter did not have the power to change reality. Her daughter came from God and will return to God. And even if she did not believe in God, God still believed in her. Hear me now. Even if you do not believe in God, God still believes in you. When despair and doubt get the best of you, God never ceases to believe in you. God never ceases to love you. God will always claim you as a child, God's beloved child. The conversation continued. The mother also felt guilty. She wondered if her daughter could be suffering as a result of her mother's sins. I assured her that God does not punish the innocents for the sins of the parents or grandparents. And with that, she replied, "The Bible says that the sins of the parents are visited on the third and fourth generation of those who follow, doesn't it?" True enough. The Bible, in fact, repeats that phrase as a warning. But the verse is descriptive, not prescriptive. The verse does not imply God's judgment. Rather, it reflects reality. We have all seen this truth as it has played out in the lives of our own families and friends. When children grow up in alcoholic homes, when children are abused, or if they see their mother abused, then often the sins of the parents, a broken family story, lives on to the next generation, and perhaps to those who follow after that, until the cycle is finally broken. The dysfunction continues. The sins of the parents are visited upon the third and fourth generation, but God does not punish the innocents. God is only interested in our healthy and abundant life. God does not punish us, but we do a pretty good job of punishing ourselves. And in doing so, we punish those we love the most and those who are yet to be born. She thought for a moment, and then she said, "But Pastor, God punished David for his adultery and murder by taking the life of David and Bathsheba's first child, right?" Let's stop right there. That is what the Bible tells us, and I believe that was the conclusion that King David came to. David was racked with guilt and shame, believed that God had taken the life of his child in order to punish him. David believed that, but I don't believe that for a minute. In the ancient world, in a time before science, in the pre-scientific era of human existence, there seemed to be no explanation for many of the events that happen in the world. No explanation outside of the providence and the judgment of a mysterious God. And so every bountiful harvest was attributed to a happy God. And every drought or military defeat was seen as a judgment of an angry God. Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. And the religious folks ask him, saying, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, they had no scientific explanation. No accident or foolishness had caused his blindness. No, he was born this way, and someone or something had to be responsible for this, right? And so without an explanation, their worldview would be shattered. And if this suffering was just random, then life would be even more terrifying than it currently was. By healing this man, born blind, Jesus proclaimed that disability is not an act of God. Disability is not the will of God. In a pre-scientific world, disease, mental illness, even poverty were seen as a judgment from God. A God who was angry and quick to punish his children. Consequently, if one was suffering from any calamity, it must be traced to one's sins or the sins of the parents. Dear friends, dear pilgrims on the road, we cannot understand the Bible or life without the lens. And the lens is Jesus. Jesus is the most complete revelation of God that we have. So if you're reading the Old Testament, or if you're listening to some preacher who's inspiring hate or dispensing guilt, then just ask yourself if those words are consistent with the words and the teachings of Jesus. You don't really think that God commanded the children of Israel to annihilate the Canaanites, do you? You don't really think that God commanded the children of Israel to annihilate the Hittites, the Amorites, killing even their women and children, do you? As if they were less human, less loved by God? You don't really think that God has commanded the nation of Israel this day to destroy the innocents of Palestine, do you? You don't really think that God loves Jewish babies more than Muslim babies, do you? Reading the Old Testament without the lens of Jesus is dangerous. I have a quote here from Mark Twain, reflecting on the image of God in the Old Testament. And about the Old Testament, he says, The old one gives us a picture of these people's deity as he was before he got religion. The Old Testament God is a God before God got religion. Hear me now. If a story or teaching is not consistent with the words and teachings of Jesus, then we must recognize those as flawed teachings, misguided interpretations of God's will, a misguided understanding of God's desire for the human family. If words of hate are attributed to God, a God who is defined as love, then we must reject those words as false teachings. So here is the question for the day. How can we overcome the teachings of the church that have led us astray from Jesus? How will we overcome the teachings of a human institution that for 2,000 years has sought to control and extort common people like us? Now, our guide this morning, the text that will lead us to Jesus, the tutor of truth, is found in the 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 21. You can read them tonight. There are 4 points in this text that I'll lift up, 4 points that will free us, calm our fears, and lead us to a more abundant life. The first is found in the 16th verse, just 3 words, God is love. Let me hear you say that. You could even memorize that. God is love. If there is a God, if there is a creator of the universe, if our bodies and the complex life forms of earth come from a higher power, if we believe that there is intelligent design in creation, then defining that higher power is critical. How is God defined in the Bible? God is love. And how is love defined? Love is patient. And love is kind. We must start here as we attempt to overcome the teachings of an institution that may have presented God in some other way to us. We must start here or we'll be destined to live our lives plagued with fear and superstition. Look at these paintings for a moment. There you see God, right? Very approachable. These are the paintings that adorn some of the most sacred spaces in Christendom. Paintings that were meant to teach illiterate, common people about God. And they are terrifying. Would you trust your life or your children to a God who would seek to control you through the threat of eternal torture and suffering? Would you title any of those paintings God is love? I don't think so. God is patient and kind. God is merciful and slow to anger. God is abounding in steadfast love. God is love. Yes, God is more complicated than just those 3 words, but at God's core is love. Verse 18 brings us our second critical point, a critical understanding of God's love for us and the love that we should have for each other. And this time it's 5 words, so you're going to have to memorize these too. Are you ready? There is no fear in love. Try it. There is no fear in love. If your image of God includes fear, then you have the wrong image. Your image of God may inspire awe and wonder and reverence. We may be so humbled by God's love that we bow down, but there is no fear in love. We have nothing to fear from God. Even if we do not believe in God, God believes in us. God is love. There is no fear in love. And the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not sin, not addiction, not dementia, not disability, not unbelief, certainly not death. Verse 19 brings out our third teaching into focus. 6 words now. It's getting harder. 6 words. We love because God first loved us. Try that. The love that we share is a response to the love that we already have received from God. We do not love hoping for a reward. We do not love as a means of achieving forgiveness. We love because God first loved us. Our love is a response to grace, to the unconditional, never-failing love of God. Now, a few minutes from now in the announcements, we're going to be giving away some big checks. The checks will go forth from our campus to do good in the world. Our offerings to the church are not indulgences, hoping to buy us forgiveness. Our offerings are not to help us to escape the fires of hell or the stagnation of a non-existent purgatory. Our offerings are joyfully given. God loves a cheerful giver, and we do not give as an indulgence to escape hell. No, we make no attempt to buy God's favor or forgiveness, and we do not expect a tenfold return on our offerings. Those are the empty promises of TV preachers who prey on the vulnerable. We love because God first loved us. We have been richly blessed, but we never are blessed in isolation. In God's grand equation, we are blessed that we might in turn be a blessing to others. Our gifts are a response to God's grace. And the money the Trinity Lutheran Church, that's you, gives to nonprofits near and far is not meant to ensure God's continued blessing on our church. No, those gifts are given as a response to what God has already done for our church. Blessed to be a blessing, we give because much has been given to us. Giving to the larger community is consistent with our calling to love our neighbor. And finally, we are encouraged twice in this short text, in verse 11 and 21. We are encouraged to express our joy and thankfulness by paying it forward, by loving others. Here it is. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. You can say that now. Why is this so important? Because God's mission is not about church laws. God's mission has nothing to do with holiness codes or controlling people or protecting tradition. God's mission is abundant life, your abundant life, and God knows that without love, there is no abundant life. Love, God is love, there is no fear in love. These two are inseparable. God is love. And love is patient and kind. So let me ask you, if God has been patient with us, might we find a new measure of patience with those we live with and work with? And if God has been kind with us, might we be kind in return to those who sleep next to us or down the hall, or those who serve us at the checkout line at Payless? And if God has forgiven us, is it too much to ask that we would cut ourselves a break for being human? And might it be time then for us to forgive our family members, our friends, or our neighbors for not being perfect? How can we overcome the teachings of the church that led us astray from Jesus? How will we overcome the teachings of a human institution that for 2,000 years has sought to control and extort common people like us? It's quite simple. See the world through the lens of Jesus. Stick to Jesus and stand for love. David Roth was here in concert in April, and he sang this song for us, and this morning Carl's going to sing this song for us, and I think you're going to join in on the refrain. I stand for love. You may remain seated.
Tangling here.
Mm-hmm.
I stand for peace, I stand for joy and for release, for what is beautiful and true. I stand for hope, I stand for you, I stand for love, I stand for peace, I stand for joy and for release, for what is beautiful and true. I stand for hope, I stand for you. You know our world is in great pain, she needs our loving care again. There are those who fail to see what we have done and what we need. There is a cost for every act, and now there is no turning back. We burn a bridge, we bang a drum. It's time to rise, the time has come. To stand for love, to stand for peace, to stand for joy and for release, for what is beautiful and true, to stand for hope, to stand for you. If you're thinking it's not urgent, that we've got more time to kill, if I'm not the one who'll change things, then for heaven's sake, who will? So I will move and I will climb that mountain one step at a time. I won't be swayed, I will not stop until we I stand for hope, I stand for you.
We lift our hearts now to God in prayer. Diane's going to lead us in the prayers. There's a sung response, maybe someday. We'll sing through that once now, and then each petition will lead us back to that sung response. Let us pray.
Maybe someday we'll know all the answers. Maybe someday the truth will flow heart to heart. Perhaps there'll be a singleness of purpose, but for now, our love will make a start.
Gracious God, we trust that no matter what we do or don't do, this story begins and ends with love. Let us pray. We give you thanks for Jesus the vine, with roots eternally grounded in you. We rejoice that by grace we have grafted onto him to be branches on a vine which bears the finest of fruits, love. We give thanks as well for so many bearers of loves in our lives, friends who care, family members present to our joys and heartaches, all those who share a word of hope in times of trouble, imperfect as we all are, but bearers of love, trusting in your gift of love.
Maybe someday we'll know all the answers. Maybe someday the truth will flow heart to heart. Perhaps there'll be a singleness of purpose, but for now, our love will make a start.
We see and honor those who exhibit love as they release captives and free prisoners, be they prisoners of historic oppression or of societal expectations, or captives trapped in the violence of current traumas. In this Passover season, it is a time of blossoming change and liberation for all. May we likewise continue to be filled with the energy to sprint out of our narrow places of understanding, bringing blossoms of freedom with us. May we look after each other in the ongoing work of tending to all of our relationships to bring a new era of hope, trusting in your gift of love.
Maybe someday we'll know all the answers. Maybe someday the truth will flow heart to heart. Perhaps there'll be a singleness of purpose, but for now, our love will make a start.
We lift our prayers of love for all the children and elderly and all who are at risk from climate change and its resulting impacts, for those suffering from illnesses, physical, mental, or emotional, for those struggling to find their way through oppression, bigotry, or hate, or who feel their real selves are invisible to others, for those suffering starvation in Gaza, Sudan, Haiti, and other places, trusting in your gift of love.
Maybe someday we'll know all the answers. Maybe someday the truth will flow heart to heart. Perhaps there'll be a singleness of purpose, but for now, our love will make a start.
God of unfailing love, you make us new in Christ. Keep us on the path of loving one another, that one day we can live, breathe, and be the love you have called us to be. We pray in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Stand up, share the peace. Thank you for sharing in that greeting of the peace. After the service, take that good energy right across into the gym for a time of coffee and cookies and fellowship together. Share your story. Get to know somebody you don't know. Important time for us together. Read your bulletin every week. Lots of announcements in that bulletin. Lots of things to take advantage of. Take part in ministries that you might be interested in. Ask questions. Get involved. Your church. So there's that. Now, there's quilts in here this morning. How many of our quilters are here? Raise your hand, our quilters. We've got a few of them here today. Thank you to our quilters. So what happens is all year long, our quilters are making quilts down in Grigware Hall, down in the building down by the highway. And then the quilts are gathered up, sent off to Lutheran World Relief. And these quilts will show up where there are disasters, where there are earthquakes, where there's flooding, where there's war, where there's disaster in our country or across the world. These quilts will show up in those spots. And they are a tangible sign that someone in the world cares about them in the midst of their trauma. So these beautiful quilts go out, a tangible sign of the love of God. And I think Carl's got a song about quilts or something.
It's called The Handiwork of God, and the choir is going to help me sing it.
This is we bless them.
Stitched together piece by piece, sewn with purpose and with care. Scraps once thought to have no worth now become a sacred treasure, a quilt of love made by holy hands. Every pattern known by heart, stitched together by the sewer of our souls, a quilt of love, a work of art. We're the handiwork of God, gathered here in this holy hour, hearts are full of pain and glory, quilt the threads of this kinship up into your unfolding story, a quilt of love made by holy hands. Every pattern known by heart, stitched together by the sewer of our souls, a quilt of love, a work of art. We're the handiwork of God. When we've come apart, when we've been torn, when the fabric of our lives is frayed and worn, mend us up, loving friend. Let your creative touch heal again. A gift from God, and all creation sings its praise. A quilt of love made by holy hands. Every pattern known by heart, stitched together by the sewer of our souls. A quilt of love, a work of art. We're the handiwork of God, a quilt of love, and each of us bears a part. We're the handiwork of God, we're the handiwork of God.
Blessing upon the quilts. I'm going to call on Lana Johnson.
He's checking his watch, so I better make this really quick. Today's the last day in April, so here comes May. Now, the schedules are out there for sign up for both May and June. And I know a lot of you simply say to me, you know, just call me. Anything that you need, just give me a call. So, I'm giving you a call. We're pretty short, okay? So, take a look, see what you can do. That would be great. And then, we have something coming up in a couple weeks. Sorry, I'm trying to go fast. on the luncheon. Yeah, May 16th. And we've decided to do, where is it? Like that? Is that good? Okay, thank you. We've decided to do Mexican. So, you know, tacos, enchiladas, burritos, nachos, anything you can think of. And if you don't like Mexican food, simply bring something that you eat, okay? That's all we ask. So come, join the fun, and bring something to eat. And if you know a Mexican recipe you like, bring that. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. Sunday Forum at 9:30 in the Fireside Room down the hall. This morning, Alex Eby from Southwood Bee Young Life will be here talking about their summer camp adventures that they go on. So I encourage you to go down the hall and visit with Alex. His kids come to our preschool. They're a pretty wonderful family. And then on the table in the narthex, we have a new flyer for May. Look at this, a very short flyer because we're almost at the end of our regular program year. But next Sunday, Pastor Chris Bruninger is going to be speaking about U2, Walk on the Witness of U2. So that's next Sunday and some other topics to look forward to. Excuse me. And then coming up for our youth, we have a high school trip to Idaho Servant Adventures, Shoshone Mountain Retreat up in Wallace, Idaho. We need signups for that by this week, so if you have a high school kiddo interested in traveling with us in June, please come and let me know. That's going to be really a fantastic trip with a lot of service opportunities as well as a lot of fun camp stuff. And then Vacation Bible School is coming up this summer, one of our favorite weeks every year. So that is July 8th to 11th. Our registration is open through our website. So this is for kids who are age 4 through 5th grade. If you have someone in your neighborhood or grandkids who might want to come to Vacation Bible School, I encourage you to check out our website and find the registration for that. And then our fundraiser that helps support all of these amazing summer activities that we do. Tickets go on sale next Sunday, and the fundraiser dinner and small auction will be on June 2nd. That's a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So I hope to see you next Sunday in the gym. We will have tickets for that event. Thank you.
Thank you, Lana. Thank you, Deacon Amy. There's lots of ways, if someone said, what's your church about, there's lots of ways we could define that. We could say something about great music. We could talk about the quilts. We could talk about the woodcutters. There's so many education programs, so many things. But just for a moment, we're going to look at a few big checks. I'm going to have my grandsons get some energy out. Come on up, Cam, Coop. Come on up, stand here. I'll have you hold checks. You'll never hold bigger checks than this in your life. So this is Cam and Cooper. They're 7 and 5. Played baseball yesterday, but they're helping me today. So I'm going to give Cam this first check. And that check you'll see projected at this point. Our endowment committee has done their work. Our scholarship committee has done their work. And we are awarding $183,000 in scholarships this year. That means we'll be going to college in the fall with 43 college students, some from our parish, many are not from our parish, as these scholarships will be helping young people in the future, to the leaders of the future for us, $183,000. So that's fantastic. I'm going to give Cooper this one. Yeah, clap for that one. Cooper, Cooper's got a check for $1,000 for the Pacific Rim Institute, which is up in Coopville, which does environmental education for young and old alike about how we care for God's creation. Just after Earth Day, important time for us to focus on that. Cam, let's see if you can hold two at one time. Just hold that right in front of that one. There you go. You can hold them right together there. This one is we sent out on Earth Day, Friends of the Earth. And they, too, are about caring for the environment and environmental education. We kind of want to do whatever we can to help the environment that God has entrusted to us. So we try to support these efforts. Coop, can you hold two at once? Hold that one right there. Whoop, fumble. Okay, hold on. He's got it. There you go. You take that one. I'll take this one. How's that? Three stooges. There you go. There you go. We got this one. Coop's got a big check, $9,000 to Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services Global Refuge. This is money we sent down as the second check that we sent down to Guatemala to help young Guatemalans who've come to our border and been sent back home. And we have a program down there now that we're partnering with to try to help them get rooted in their own community, start their own businesses, get the education they need so they'll no longer have to make that long journey to our southern border. Give Cam this one, and this one is $1,000 for Compassion International, and this is primarily helping young people, very young people, oftentimes orphans across the world to have what they need to go to school and food and be get a good start in life where they wouldn't before. $1,500 for the Whidbey Island Nourishes. This is feeding your neighbors. We got people on our board here from our church, and Whidbey Island Nourishes helps to feed your neighbors. We have neighbors who are hungry, as you know. Cam's got a check for Luther Seminary for $1,000. We have two seminary students right now, Orion in the back and Katrina Benson, and there are lots of other students there, and we're helping to train the next leaders so that we have pastors down the line. And Cooper's got another one here. This is Friends of Friends. Friends of Friends helps your neighbors. Oftentimes people have insurance, but your long-term medical stuff doesn't pay for ferry tickets, doesn't pay for nights in hotel, doesn't pay for many things that come along with illness. Friends of Friends helps with that. And finally, the last check, Camden's got $2,500 for the Enzo House, which is just down the road. The Enzo House has been there for a long time. It was hospice, and now it's transitioning to helping caregivers who are caring for those who are dying in their homes. So this is, thank you guys. You can go here, you can head back. Thank you so much. So these are the checks that went out in the last week. This happens during the year. This happens, it's not magic. Some of the checks are for the endowment, most of the scholarships, but other checks are just because you were blessed to be a blessing and you get it and we share it and we make a difference on our island and the world. So give yourselves a round of applause. Now as we transition toward the end of the service, I'd invite you to stand. And we'll pray together, singing together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. As you depart from this place of worship, go out those doors, find your own places of service. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending hymn, we are marching, singing, dancing in the light of God.
Don't forget to move while you sing.
See a humbug.
the Lord.
Thanks be to God.